Good afternoon. Welcome to Lime Radio. My name is Luca.
I'm Adriel.
I'm Mir. And today we have a very special guest joining us, Mr. Pepe.
Hello.
Mr. Pepe is our music teacher at ACET. He's our music teacher at ACET, a very profound program where we learn how to adapt our musical skills. And today we're going to have an awesome opportunity to interview him as we go on through our normal routine.
To start the show off, this is a song by Die Star. It's called Star Starter. Sorry. That was Star Starter by Die Star. How'd you guys feel about that song?
I really liked the intro. The intro was drum and bass, which is usually my forte. But then I liked how it kind of simmered down and became a more basic drum pattern, which then transitioned it to a rock type of song.
Yeah.
So I didn't expect that, but I still liked the song overall. As an intro with the drum and bass and then proceeding to become a rock song overall.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much summed it up. But Luca and I, we both chose that song because we knew that Mira would like it in the beginning. And it sort of took a turn, but yeah. And then I'd say the outro was also kind of caught me off guard. It was kind of weird, but not like a bad weird, you know?
Yeah.
And Mr. Pepe, Justin, you're wondering, you can just add your thoughts if you wanted to. Throughout any song, no pressure at all, but you are in the studio with us, and I know you at home listening right now would love to hear Mr. Pepe's thoughts just as well as we would.
Ooh, thanks. You know what? I'll give my 2 cents after the next song, and I'll actually pay attention to it.
This next song is Body Week by Diamond Cafe.
Your body makes me weak, boy.
That was Body Week by Diamond Cafe. That song really reminded me of Michael Jackson. I don't know.
I remember we played that song earlier, but I feel like the second listen, I heard more resonance in his voice and like presence, where I wasn't really paying attention that much last time. Probably because like this time we were we realized we played this song before, and I think this is our first repeat. I think it's a good pick for a good repeat as a song. I really enjoyed the ending part where he says "body week," but then it sounds like about a week. I don't know. It's just like I just like how his voice blends together, and yeah.
I mean, I was gonna say it sounded like Michael Jackson, but like Mir said, we did replay it. So, I mean, on the second listen, it definitely seems more enjoyable to me, at least.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know. It just sort of sounds like the same as like I remember it, you know. But besides that. You know, it's a good song. Definitely not Michael Jackson inspired, though. It's kind of funky.
You know what? And I'd throw in Prince.
Yeah.
You got a lot of Prince vibes in that one. That was a good one.
This next song is Honey by Jalene Marie.
She loves the most, and it's like being something till you go.
That was Honey by Jolene Marie. That song really reminded me of Lana Del Rey. Mir, I know you like listening to her a lot.
Yeah, I do really appreciate Lana Del Rey's music. I started listening to her last year with her new album, Something Something. She always has long albums.
Something
names.
Something.
It was Boulevard. I remember Boulevard part. But
oh, like... I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called, though.
Yeah, and then I listened to more of her music. Like, I can say her other album names, like Ultraviolence and Chemtrails Under the Country Club, which was her prior album to what just came out. So I heard her most recent album, and I used to think, like, oh, this is a girl's artist. Like, only girls listen to her. But then... I don't know. I something just resonated with her music once I listened to her most recent release. And I think if you're at home and you have this pre-esteemed notion that, like, oh, only a certain group can listen to this type of music, I think you're wrong. And I think you should just give it a try. So I'd really recommend Lana's music to you if you like Jolene Marie. I think you'd love Lana Del Rey.
I also have one more recommendation. If you like that song and you like Lana Del Rey, you'd also like Alina Baraz. She did an album with, I think, a producer named Galimatias. It's pretty good.
Right now we're going to play PSA and then we're going to get into the interview.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is a place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee, Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
So, I'm Mir from Lime Radio, as everyone knows, and I'll be conducting the interview today. Hopefully, if Luca and Adriel want to pitch in, it's totally up to them. But I have all the questions and scripts for the interview with our established Mr. Pepe. As I said earlier, in the studio with us is Mark Pepe, established musician and our own teacher, as I'll keep referring to him as Mr. Pepe just out of respect. And thank you so much for coming on. And could you give us a quick introduction on who you are and your journey as a musician?
Thanks for having me. My name is Mark Pepe. Grew up in East Van. I guess my musical journey began when I was in high school. It started a little actually earlier in elementary school. I was in grade 3. I joined our school church choir, and I was the only boy, and I sung like a girl, so I quit. No one told me that I was a boy soprano, which is a thing. So then when I got to grade 8, I watched a musical. My high school, Notre Dame Regional Secondary, was doing Little Shop of Horrors. And the guy playing the dentist, Justin Welsh, who is now a pretty established opera singer across Canada, was singing the dentist. And I saw him. I'm like, okay, I want to do that. I want to be like just that guy. And then I signed up for the next musical, which was South Pacific. And then I had a little solo in that. I got bit by the bug. And so I was just involved in a lot of musicals, choir, dramas. Started taking guitar lessons with a local jazz musician, Gordon Gardina, who's an absolute beast of a player. And so I studied with him, for about a year while I was in high school. Then when I graduated, I just wanted to go to school. So I went to Campolano University for a bit, did some upgrading in courses and took first year music there. While there, I was doing actually a double major in singing and double bass, but I stuck with singing. And then I moved on to UBC to their opera ensemble. And then I did my opera degree there. And then that was, it was quite an intense program because we were doing fully staged operas, 3 a year. And so you were just constantly learning music. And so I was just constantly listening to Oh, everything. Listening to lots of opera, obviously, but because I was at CAP, I was hanging out with a lot of jazz musicians, so I'm listening to a lot of jazz, I'm listening to a lot of opera, listening to a lot of rock and roll. At that time, I was totally into Radiohead. By the time I finished music, I actually got into teaching. And then at the beginning of my teaching career, I thought, that's it, singing's done, I'm never going to sing anymore, I'm a teacher now, I must teach and educate the children. But what ended up happening was, I ended up getting more gigs for singing, it's been on a parallel path since then. I found that teachers and students, administration and parents took me more seriously because I was an active musician, and then some of my musician friends took me more seriously because I was I had a job in music, right? You know, I was able to do music all day, and now things are pretty stable. I teach music production at Burnaby North Secondary as well as some concert band, and I've been singing with the Vancouver Opera Chorus since 2017, so I sing regularly with them. Come see a production of Don Pasquale at the Queen Elizabeth Theater February 10th, mm-hmm. 15th, and 17th.
Okay, so when you first started, like, as you're saying, as a child, you saw the dentist. Was it always in your sight as, like, your goal as a musician to go into opera, or did you have other goals? Like, because I remember when I was younger, I think it's every kid's fantasy to just be a rock and roll star or some type of rapper or hip hop head, everything. Like, I don't think, or for me at least, I've seen operas growing up. I've seen musicals, High School Musical, the best musical out there. But I've seen musicals, I've seen operas. I just never had it click with me where I saw an opera singer and went like, whoa, that's my favorite out of every like type of musician. So as a kid, what was your like goal as a musician when you first started?
Oh, you know what? I would say my goal was just to participate. I just had so much fun in the rehearsal process, hanging out with like-minded friends who also enjoyed the rehearsal process. I essentially just really enjoyed rehearsal. I loved collaborating, putting together music, and then the actual performance was the cherry on top, right? So it's just the performance itself is this small little thing compared to the whole entire process of learning your lines, practicing, discussing character, and then putting those scenes together, rehearsing them over and over again, finding a lot of nuance. That's where I really fell in love with it. And as for getting into opera, it was almost a complete fluke. I just wanted more experience when I was at CAP. So I thought, I want to keep my chops up over the summer. So I'm going to do this voice workshop at UBC. And then I wasn't even singing. Now that I think about it, I don't think I was singing any opera whatsoever. I was singing classical music and in the classical style. But after that voice workshop, the woman who runs the voice and opera department, Miss Nancy Hermiston, she's like, I want you to my opera program. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Totally. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting in rehearsal in September doing my favorite thing, in rehearsal, learning music, practicing music with all my friends. And then I just totally fell in love with the art form.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How would you say becoming a music teacher has changed your perspective as a musician?
Oh, you can't fool kids. So basically, you got to have your chops. And so what I found is that it made me a better musician because I had to learn that much more music. And then also I had to think about music differently because not every child learns differently. So you'll have the kids that will just automatically buy in, but then you also have to think of ways of how to get the ones that don't buy in, how to make music interesting for them. And that usually involves you having to, model whatever neat little musical concept you're teaching. So it definitely keeps your chops up.
And then what is there any skills that you see overlapping in teaching that you also have to bring over to opera?
Oh, yeah, definitely. preparation. So if I don't have a lesson plan done, or if I don't have all of, like, say, my photocopying done, class is just going to go, like, sideways really fast. And in opera rehearsal, if you don't know your music, you're affecting everyone else. Mm-hmm. I would say it's almost even worse, because when you don't know your music for rehearsal and other people are depending on you to know your things, the tension in the air gets really thick really fast. So I would say preparation and knowing your stuff is the overlap.
And as a former music student from Capilano and continuing your education at UBC, how much has your post-secondary impacted your musical journey?
Oh, it was a huge impact. You just can't compare. I found that my musical journey actually started by the time I or started when I got to college and university. Because in high school, you're, at least in my experience, I was still concerned about just having fun with my friends, and then just being there and thinking about, oh, what are we going to do this weekend? And we had tests and stuff and homework, but I really didn't think about that. And I wasn't thinking about, okay, I got to be sure that I know my scales, or I got to be sure that I know, how to play this instrument or things like that. Like in high school, you just did it because that's what everyone else was doing. Mm-hmm. But when you got to when you leave high school and get to college, that's when you start to meet your like-minded friends, and you're going to jams, and then you got some concerts that are in really large theaters. I found my real learning happened in university, but I found high school did set me up nicely for university though.
Do you feel someone who takes the path, especially as a musician, towards university will pose better than someone who hasn't?
That's a good question.
Especially in your line of work as a opera and classical singer, you could give those insights because that is what you're.
As an opera and in the world of opera and classical music, I would say university is essential, not for learning how to sing and for learning the theory and history. You could do all that on your own, but for networking, because you're not going to get hired if people don't know who you are. It's not just there's Mir there, I'll hire him. It's more like, okay, I know Mir. He's performed with these people and he's performed with those people. He's done these kind of roles. I think we could depend on him for this little thing that we have offering. So we'll hire him. And if you don't know anyone, it's really hard to penetrate that little opera bubble. Like it's not that big. Everyone in it is literally one degree away from legends of the golden age, like Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and Maria Callas. University is essential for networking in a way, not just for that discipline either. For even if you're a jazz student or studying maybe even pop music and production. That's where you meet people. So it's where you network. I'm kind of talking in circles right now.
I could move on to the next question. Opera often involves powerful storytelling through music. How do you approach conveying emotion and narrative through such vocal performances? And what challenges and rewards do you see when you present your musical talents?
Oh, geez. The one thing with opera when it comes to passion and emotion is that it's very, very extreme. So these are characters that are portrayed at their absolute worst state or their best. I'll give you one example. for a few summers, I studied in a town in Italy called Busseto. And Busseto is the hometown of the opera composer Giuseppe Verdi. And so I was doing some master classes there. And we had a concert coming up. And so I was singing Vesti la Giubba from Leoncavallo's Pagliacci. And so, you know, I've sung this, you know, at this point, I've sung it a lot. And, you know, it's a story of the sad, tragic clown. He paints his face. And then after that, he, you know, he, like all opera, he murders his wife at the end. But this one day, I'm sitting in a master class. And it's with a soprano named Aprile Millo, who spent a lot of time singing at the Met and, you know, all over the world. And so I